calling us to our mission as a church, to articles that are talking about that. And then we go back to the scripture again. So here with the last article that we read, or what is the mission of the church, by AJ, then we ended with worship as the end game. We said, okay, one of the passages he went to was here in Psalm 96. And we asked this question, how is obedience to the psalm, how would obedience to the psalm lead to the things that we've looked at in this article? And what is implied what is the mission of the church? Christians are sent. That means we're on a mission, and we are sent to proclaim a gospel of repentance. Again, how is a gospel of repentance different than the gospel that we normally focus on? As you interact with people, you want to talk to them about Jesus. What would a gospel that included repentance include? And like right away, we said things like, if it's repent, it means change your direction. Well, then you have to ask, why should I change my direction? Well, then we have to say, because the gospel we're bringing is the second part here. We're not just talking about Jesus saving us from our sins and that he's amazing because he wanted to do that, he can do that, he loves us, all that. We're saying, no, Jesus' global supremacy and lordship. That's who he is. That's who he is. And that's why when John and the others said, should we call down fire from heaven? He goes, you don't know what spirit you're of? Before you go, yeah, dummies, you know, you don't do that. God's not like that. Yes, he is. He's coming back to judge, and he's going to destroy the earth. So that's who he is. It was that not understanding his sovereignty, which meant not now, not there. Next week, I was going to come to it. This week with Sodom, we're not going to quite get to Sodom in the passage. Decided yesterday. Susie goes, do you want me to print the bulletin now, or do you want me to wait till you decided you're not going to finish your passage? And I said, go ahead and print it. And then I came back and said, you're right, honey. I'm not finishing a passage. Reprint it. So we're not quite going to get to Sodom. But again, I can't wait next week. I told you this is coming Wednesday night, as when Jesus says, if the miracles have been performed in you, whoever it was, Tyre, Bethsaida, whoever it was, he said, Sodom would have repented. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment. Wait till we get to that next week. And you just look at the wickedness of Sodom. This isn't just like normal sinning, normal go to hell people. This is like heaping words on top of each other about their wickedness. Okay? And so you say, well, they obviously need to repent. Well, look, this nicer city didn't see the need to repent either. And Jesus said it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than you. So Jesus' global supremacy and lordship is implying that not only he has the right to make us repent, but that he is right. He is right in making us repent. And that's why it's a gospel. There's good news. This holy God that you have defied has graciously made a way for you to come back to his light, to know the privilege of adoption and service. But it's going to call for repentance. It's right up front. Be careful. Otherwise, we sell Jesus short and nobody gives up anything to come to him. All right, so the result of making disciples ties the disciples' mission to God's promises to bless all nations through Abraham and his descendants. You know what that is? It's not just an Old Testament analogy there. You know what that means? God's word is trustworthy. Thousands of years. This whole thing of I don't feel him now, it doesn't mean anything to me now. Sorry, that's how arrogant we are. That we think if we're not feeling it, seeing it, it's not real. No, when we see prophecies fulfilled throughout Scripture, it's what it's showing is that my word to those very real men and women hundreds and thousands of years ago is certain, is true, is good, and we glorify God for that. Becoming a disciple embraces a new way of life. Jesus' followers must be taught to observe all he commands. That's because of who he is. His cosmic authority to be expressed in every detail in their lives takes time and commitment. I want you to think about that as we move toward Abraham this morning. I'm going to say somewhere in the sermon, can't remember, my mind's foggy, so I hope you pick it up somewhere. But we're going to learn about faith from Abraham. And what do we have in the Bible? Well, a few chapters, 20 incidents over a period of 175 years. 175 years. You know, as we wrestle with the music thing, you know, one of the things is, hey, are the people following God still? And left and right, we're finding people like dropping off. We all made them heroes in the Christian music industry. Whoop, they're walking away from God. Somebody goes back and goes, oh, yeah, what about that It Is Well song we sing in the hymn book? Yeah, didn't that guy go wacky at the end? Yup, he did. How about the Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, dude? Didn't he go wacky? Yup. How about old little town of Bethlehem, that Phillips Brooks? Wasn't he a flaming liberal? Yup. Okay? And you start from Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Oh, don't pick on all the songs. Stop. What are you doing? And you start realizing there's piles of things under here. Wow, when you come back to Abraham and you find he was faithful to God for 175 years, I start, well, let's look again. What do we got? It takes time to get even in those that God's Spirit is working to be able to change us. You and I can't say, leave me alone, I'm changing, you're judging me. Yeah, that's our problem. But in reality, you're going to be walking your whole days, come to the end, and say, I just want to see him more. I want to know him more. He is so good. I want to faithfully do what he saved me to do. And I can't wait to be with him someday. It takes time and commitment. But when it's all done right, where do we end up? Worship. The goal is worship. Look, Psalm 96, enough talking. If we obey Psalm 96, how would it lead to these themes up here? Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him all the earth. That's where we got up to, okay? You don't want me to do the repeating of the last few weeks? Good, then you do it. Take those first 9 verses and tell me which of these themes you see on the wall right now. Just give me any indication, anything that if I would head in the direction of the psalmist, if I would obey the psalm, well, I'd be right in line with these things that are part of the mission of the church. Just tell me any of them. You're just like, I see it. You look out the window and you go, wait, there it is. There it is. Go ahead, give me one. You see it? Where is it? Holly, go. Yes.
Repentance, bring an offering. I think I'm done.
Yep. All right. All nations. I didn't hear because. All the families of the people. God's promise is to bless all nations. You ought to see that. You know, I don't know how the Jewish thing fits into God's plan. You know, my dad's all about all over Israel. I'm glad for Israel. There's a lot to be studied about. Well, what happens? Are there conditional promises with them, with the land and the other things? Whatever the answer is, and I'm not saying that because it doesn't matter. It matters. There's just a million pieces that Christians are arguing about, and I can't study them all. Can't figure them all out. We're at different places in here, okay? But what you have to realize is whatever God promised to Abraham has some implication on God's people. It has. So there it is. If you're not Jewish, you look there and say, it got to me. The gospel was given to me. God accomplished it as he called out a people for himself to proclaim his glory to the nations. There it is. The psalmist says it right away. He says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. This is not Israel's God. This is the God of creation. That's it. And then she said, bring an offering. What was the other one? I think that was it. Yeah. Yeah, bring an offering. We talk about that with Abraham today. That's one of the reasons. You know, why do we meet so many times? I still remember Mark Dever saying, and he does it slightly different. We follow a bunch of his stuff. I'm thankful for him. But he said, well, if you're going to argue about how many services you're going to have in a week, please don't talk about convenience. He goes, it's not convenient. That's not why we do it. There has to be another reason why we have another service. So stop saying it works for me and my family. That's not the reason. All right, and the same thing with an offering. When Abraham came and said he built an altar, We're going to talk about that in the sermon, okay? What that's showing is that in the middle of all these other heathen gods, he's saying, I'm doing this to acknowledge the true God. You can all see it. It takes a lot of work, okay? Very few people know what goes on here, all right? But remember what they say. You're the church with the cars, and you're the church. Oh, you just paved your driveway. When you think, well, we could just do the cars in the driveway, and they think we're alive, right? On the other side, what do the cars in the driveway mean? At least two people had to drive all the cars over here and run away, and somebody has deep pockets. Then you look around and you realize, wait, I don't know, where's the deep pockets? Somebody makes a little more than I do, and then you realize, wait, we're not wealthy people. Well, then where's it coming from? Well, whatever. That's another discussion. But here, what she's saying is, look, if you bring an offering, there is sacrifice. There is acknowledging his global supremacy. Everybody needs to see this. The Lord is God. What do you got? Any of these themes? Just like she did. It's real quick. You're not saying anything deep. You look at Psalm 96, 1 to 9, and you see any of these themes. You give me the squinty eyes, like, I don't know if this is what you want. Oh, maybe. Do you see? Yeah, go, Dan. Yeah, he'll get there. Go ahead.
I think I might be stretching the text, but I think you only find the first, whatever that is highlighted, phrase sent to proclaim a gospel of repentance. You find, like, that kind of implied in verse 13, where it says, for he's coming to judge the earth. And you...
You can't have 13.
You have 13. Yeah, and fine. You can't have... I'm sorry.
You can have 13, but that's my thing.
Okay. What's the verse?
1 to 9.
I'm sorry. So you look at...
He said 2. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation.
Yeah.
Okay? You lost it. Yeah, he is so 13. All right, we'll come to 13. Yeah, I get it. You see judgment, you go, yeah, all right, he's the judge. I got that. All right, now, that's Aaron Judge, who Susanna got to see. And my uncle said, I said, they're going to see the Yankees. And he goes, I hope you told Susanna that she can't marry him anymore because she just married Justin. I said, she's very clear with Justin, but she still has her heart and eyes set on Aaron Judge. She got a picture of his hit that night. He did very well. They actually won. The Yankees stink this year. But, yes, Marv will agree. Okay? They stink this year. But a great game. Saying that, because there's nobody like Aaron Judge when they have the judge's quarters out in the outfield like that, and everybody's wearing the hair of the judge. And, you know, that's kind of where my dad's coming from when he'll say, why do we say awesome about everything? That word is so old, but he's still on that kick. Or why do we say, and what he's saying is if we say our greatest words too flippantly, we leave no room to say God is the judge. God is the one. But then here, God is the one who saves, right? God is the one who saves. You got to think this week, how did you live that God was the one that delivered you? I had to think about that because I'm thinking sleep will deliver me. People getting along in unity will deliver me. A little more money would deliver me. You know, you look at the bills and you think, why did I spend that? Where did that go? Should I have done that? A little more money would deliver me. All right. God is the one. You can't sing his praises if you're not seeing him as the one who's delivering. What do you got? Olga, go.
The verse 7, today if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
At Meribah. Okay.
As in the day of
Massa, in the wilderness.
In the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So that repentance here.
Right. There's repentance. All right. I'm going to say that Psalm 95 in the morning service. I was going to go back as I looked at Psalm 96 and I said, oh, what would it look like if we obeyed Psalm 96? How would that carry that out? I looked at Psalm 95 as well and said, here it is. If you just read these Psalms, the mission is implied inside of there. So that's Psalm 95. Psalm 96, John?
Yeah. I'll also go over 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. I'm going to take a little bit of a stretch, and the one that says this takes time and commitment, it's saying, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples.
Right.
To get to all those people, to get to all the families, to right. make sure that the people have the message, take somebody. I know we talk about making sure we send out missionaries that have good good knowledge and the right mission. But I was just talking to somebody the other day. He's like, John, I don't know if I can go to China because I'm so busy worried about I still struggle to get to my neighbor and tell him about it. And so focusing on the neighbor, and some of us are sent out to the right. peoples, but somebody's got the peoples at home. It's going to take a lot of time and commitment, no matter where you are, to start spreading that, as well as then in the second part of that, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. There's so much there, and I think that I definitely don't feel the weight of how much we need to be giving God the glory for. But if we were to truly give God the glory for everything that he's due, it would take a lot of time and commitment.
Time and commitment. This is what I'm looking for you to do. I'm looking for you to do this on your own in your devotions. Not every day, every verse, all the time. But if you're not careful, we're so dependent on somebody else to give us a little tidbit from a little devotional. Some of them are better than others. I read a devotional with that. But I'd like you to just do this and say, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Who are you talking to? And why should they listen to you? And what are their assumptions? And you start realizing, I can't even get to the people in my own household. How do I get to my neighbors? How do I get to the people in the church? How does the biggest changes you know about people in here, how do you get it past, I think you lost some weight. We never hear the other one. I think you gained a lot of weight, right? Everybody thinks that. You're like, no, don't look at me. That's what we're doing. You're like, well, I'll stay at home then, all right? How can we get past watching our hair change and our weight and our personality? Stop sniffing in church. You know, it's like, you know, we all have different habits or things like that. How do we get into say what it would take for them to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength? You need to see him as his strength was what was it. He is the great one. You need to see that in order for you back to where Holly started. It's just simple in here. You just start looking at these and you just go, okay, he must be worthy because sing to him. Sing to him a new song, meaning you have something new to see that you say, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And you're saying, well, yeah, I sang that yesterday. I'm singing that one today, but I'm singing another song today. Let me tell you about the goodness of God, right? What do you got? Where did I go? Jim?
I don't have it in front of me, but I'm thinking of verses 2-5,
right,
where it has to be intentional. You can
tell of his glory among the nations.
Yeah, you can live this life. You could do all the right things, but it has to be intentional to verbally proclaim his excellencies. Verbally.
Yes. And then going back to his global supremacy, look at verse 5. All the gods of the peoples are idols. You're calling people out on their other gods? It means you have to acknowledge their other gods. What are their other gods? What are the gods that compete with God in your life every day? What are the other gods that reign in your household? Right? Think of anything that you value that you find three Bible verses to say God values. Doesn't somebody in your household disagree with you? Right? I grew up in a very clean, organized home. Susie didn't. You know that. I'm open about all this. All right. So how do you think that works? You put us two together. Who's right? You go, I don't know, but don't be grumpy. Don't be mean. Be accepting, understanding. People see it differently, right? Like, okay, but how do we all conform to the image of his son? What are the gods? You go, well, John, don't make cleanliness your God, or don't make your hobby your God, right? Is anybody, around Christians, you tell anybody you like something too much, and they're going to be like, it's probably an idol. It's probably an idol. And you're like, okay, but how do I enjoy the goodness of God? Okay, but then you got to acknowledge and say, wait, what would it look like in here if you and I obeyed this, if we just lived inside of this? I got to sing to him a new song. You're like, well, I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing anything new. What's obscuring the view, right? You live in the city, there's too many lights. You go out in Montana or somewhere and say, oh, I can big sky Montana, right? What's keeping you from seeing the glory of God? Right? You should be able to do this on your own, all right? I should do this. You should say, hey, John, look at this. And I go, well, I don't see it. You go, what, John? It's right here. Look what the psalmist is doing. In order for him to do this, he has to, there's a whole bunch of assumptions here. Anybody else? And then I'm ready to move. Charles?
Just to draw out that, kind of the other side of what you're talking about with repenting from our false gods. Mm-hmm. Just one of the ways that God is shown to be great is that he is presented as above the other gods. And so he is, our God whom we can proclaim to other people. He is the true God. He's greater than your false gods as unbelievers, like to the other people. He's greater than that.
Yeah. So, all right. So the negative thing comes out of get rid of your idols. Why do you have nothing to praise him for? Charles is saying, okay, fine. That's underneath there. But look right on the surface here. This is just saying, this is my God. He's a good God. How can I not talk to you about him? He's better. What did you want to show me? What did you want to tell me? It's not mocking somebody else. It's like there's nothing to compare him with. He's that great. So if you're feeling all touchy about, well, I don't know, I don't want to push my God on somebody else, it's like, yeah, okay, fine. But how can you live? Remember it said when Paul went into Athens and he saw all the other gods? He didn't just see multiculturalism. It burned inside of him, not like self-righteously, but it's like, how can you not see what you call the unknown God? Let me tell you about him. And then he does what Charles did. He just, you don't see anything harsh or firm or innate. He's just telling the God who made the heavens and earth, this is the God that you don't know. Let me tell you about his greatness. I feel that all the way through Psalm 96, that he's great. You don't have to be ashamed of this God. Anything else? Let's do it. All right, we're gonna head to Daniel's land here, okay? Remember what we said as we ended last time, verse 9. Worship the Lord in the holy attire. The NAS says splendor of his holiness. That worship the Lord in by acknowledging all of the attributes of God, whether you see them together and you go, God, you are just holy, or whether you say, well, holy in what way? And you start breaking them up and you study his different attributes, okay? That all of them are part of worship and should make you be able to, Hebrews 13:15, offer up, instead of a blood sacrifice, that's been finished for us. So offer up the sacrifice of praise. That's all you have to do. Can you do that today? Can you offer up a sacrifice of praise? And you just say, I could, the old chorus, sing of your love forever, okay? Do it in a reverent fashion. But then look, worship the Lord in holy, in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Remember? Quake, shuddering. Remember what the studies pulled out here? The agonized twisting of a woman giving birth. You go, oh, really? Do you really have to bring that up? It's saying even our bodily frame would be moved to trembling and prostration if men were thoroughly conscious of the power and glory of Jehovah. Just think of all those that were confronted with little bits of the glory of God in the Bible. Even John at the end, right? John in Revelation, he said, I saw him, I fell to the ground as though I was dead. All right? And that's not seen as a bad thing, like, get away from me. It was just how it is. Isn't that amazing? The invitation, Golden Gate says this, the invitation to come to him, is thus accompanied by a caution about pulling back. It's not a mixed message, but a proper recognition that confidence and reticence are both appropriate to a relationship with Yahweh. That's a sentence worth remembering. Confidence, come boldly to the throne of grace, and reticence. Who is this one? Peter, right? When he got all the fish, depart from me. I am a sinful man. Confidence and reticence are both appropriate to a relationship with Yahweh. Here we go, verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Not dependent. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Well, let me let you answer this. Here, let it go, Nicole. I'm going to go find out that part. Okay? Yep. Well, whatever you said that day, we're missing. What else is there? What is this asking us to do? What is this saying about God in verses 10 and 11? Or 10. What is it saying in verse 10? Give me a piece, not your well-thought-out answer that trumps everybody else's answer. Just a piece. What do you see? I'm going to make all of you watch that Winnie the Pooh movie. It was so helpful to me. I was so disgusted by not finding anything, and I thought, you know what? We're going to watch Pooh Bear, the new movie. It was so helpful. I walked to, remember, it was the old Christopher Robin, and Pooh Bear had to help him remember. So, did anybody? Megan watched it. Thank you. Brad watched it. There we go. There we go. Here you are, coming alive. And he goes back on the train to his terrible workplace, right? And all of a sudden, he remembers Pooh's words. Look outside the window, and what do you see? Tree. Flower. Bus. People. What do you see? Look out the window here. What do you see?
God's justice is getting swayed from his establishment.
Where's that important? Come on.
Yeah, I think it's
I'll come back to that.
Hope, and as we live like people that have eternity, we're characterized by eternity. Just thinking about like the end of World Watch where it says no matter what, the purpose of the Lord will stand. Is that I know I'm butchering that, but
yes.
And then also listening to like Albert Mohler, he's like breaking it down. He's like, he's seeing some of the trends of how marriage is now actually doing in some ways better. Like divorce rates in some areas are going down. And things go up and down all the time.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's things that God has established from creation that have lasted up until now. And I think looking to those things can provide so much hope. It's like, no, God, look, God's still working here. Look, the church is still getting together. Oh, we're still gathering. We're still worshiping. And I think that that provides a lot of help. It's saying, nope, God, there's a reason why God made the things the way they are.
You hear that? God's justice can't be swayed. You know what that would have saved? It would have saved me from slapping my sister a number of times when We're young. You know why? Why did I have to slap my sister? Because my parents wouldn't. Right? Mom. You know? And then say, well, it was probably you anyway. So, and then whatever. And then she got away with it. Well, how could she get away with it? Bap! No, you're not getting away with it. Right? When I didn't trust the justice of my parents fully, right? Of course, I was right and they were wrong. No, they were right. I was wrong. And you go, well, okay, 9 times they were right. 1 time you were right, John David. Okay, but you know what we're saying in here? God's justice can't be swayed. It is always right. You know, well, then that, you hear what he said? Well, that gives you hope for everything that just, why in the world did Andrew Peterson's song, you know, go viral there? That, do you feel the world is broken? We do. Like the whole Christian world. We don't agree on anything else. But do you agree the world is broken? We do. Right? And then it just keeps, do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. And then you get to the end and you go, he is. Well, can you imagine if we followed the song all the way through? We might be in Psalm 96 then. His justice is firm. You know what that means? I got it. Christians went from thinking this is a Christian nation and that all our founding fathers, you know, were perfect Christians and all that, to then we go, nope, they were deists and all this other stuff, to then most of us, all right, my age and younger, it was the Jerry Falwell, the moral majority, all right, we're going to take back America, okay, all that stuff, to then forget it, we're sick of politics. To now, all of a sudden, Trump comes around and they go, what in the world is happening to our country, whether you agree with him or not? All of a sudden, Christians are so focused on politics that all of a sudden, these guys that were dusty, that we haven't heard of from 100 years, all of a sudden, everybody's mentioning those guys. What is going on? And yes, we need to be better citizens. My prayer for us at Cornerstone is not, even if you agreed with me with everything, which we don't, you couldn't change to it right away. I'm not looking for everybody to agree right away. It is rough, though. When you say we don't have to agree with each other, just realize that that makes a little bit of tension. Not just between you and me, between you and her, you and him. That's unsettling when we don't agree with one another. So just remember when you say, I have a right to figure this out on my own, good, then we're going to be a little grumpy in here. Okay? All right? Just remember that. And then but Paul prays that for the unity of the faith, that we would be diligent to preserve that, you realize, I can't even get on the same page with the people in my household, right? Then how am I going to get on the same page with the people in my church? And you start realizing it takes time, like we said, and commitment. You're going to have to let some other goals go if you care about the unity of the faith. All right? Now we come to his justice. Can we all agree that we should trust his word as final, like Brian said. And then like Vanya said, live in hope. Because if it's true and it will be made right, then you can go back, like he said, and look in the past. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. And you start, instead of going, why did these people leave the church? Why are we fighting? Why are me and my wife not getting along? Why is marriage down? And he goes, the stats go up and down. But you can start going, you know what? Remember? Yeah, my dad's getting old, so then there's good things about getting old. He's gentler and softer than he's ever been in his life. There's rough things about getting old. All right. Stop looking at me when he's preaching. Somebody said, I saw your face. He's my dad, all right? I'm glad we can work together, all right? But I'll go, and Susie goes, stop it, because I go, there comes the same story again. I can see it in his eyes. I can see it. He says a word, and I go, here comes this one. And there it comes. He's rehearsing back through his life. All right? That's what all do that. You know, when's enough? But I think, what are we supposed to meditate on? The goodness of the Lord. The deeds. Tell his deeds. Not just the deeds that you've seen. The deeds he's done for the others of his saints. He's protected my people. Who's my people? All the children of Abraham, those that he has called to himself, right? The children of promise, Galatians calls them, right? So when you say the Lord reigns, the world is firmly established, you know what that means? It will not be moved. then argue all you want about the tariffs, all right? If they're going to make me buy an American car, they better work. Okay? The big ones work, but my family's getting smaller, so I don't want a big one anymore. So I trust the American big cars, not the American small cars, all right? Go ahead, buy them all. If they were all cheaper than the other ones, that's great, but they're not, all right? So I don't know, but here, the world is firmly established. Even the communist countries got around in cars, right? Little tin cans that were all gray, but somehow they got around, right? I'm sorry, gross stereotypes, but that's what you see as you look back. It's like those countries lived in black and white. Their little cars were gray, right? They worked. So back to him, there's hope. There's hope. But what I was mentioning my dad is one of the stories he'll always tell is Billy Taylor, the egg farm, right? Remember that guy? Billy Taylor showed up here about 10 years ago. And he goes, I couldn't remember what part of the state you were from, but I knew that wherever you were, you would be there on a Sunday night. And I knew the other churches didn't have a Sunday night. And there you were. And he just waltzed in. It was just an unannounced kind of thing. That hit my dad. It hit my dad not that we were here on a Sunday night, but that we've changed. We've been gone for 20, 30 years from there, and he was looking for things that he remembered that he could count on about my dad. And he said, and that's what Vanya's saying. Do you realize if you will maintain your faith and be faithful in this body of believers, you know what this is? It's not Cornerstone. It's not the pastor's church. It's the people of God that are saying, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Right? That's what's going on. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Anything else you want to say on this verse? Jim, say it.
The Lord reigns. The world is firmly established by the Lord according to his will. What I think about back and forth, this way, this way, this administration today that we have is trying to transform the whole world.
Yes.
To his whatever he believes.
Yeah.
And it's not going to last.
Yeah.
The Lord's going to have his way. He's going to judge according to what his plan is.
Well, have their time and their successes and failures. Failures. God's, this is the old, all right, whatever you want to do with God and politics, whatever's wrong with the song, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, whatever you want to do, it says his truth is marching on. That's the part. That's the part. Whatever we do with America, however that fits, and please, we're on a bash America thing, don't do that. Don't do that. It's not going to last forever. It's not perfect. There's plenty wrong. We can talk all day about that. But back to what Vanya said. We're so busy trying to find a perfect church that we bash everything that happened in our churches in our childhood. It's amazing to me, as this is, you want to call this my professional occupation? I think it should be the job of all Christians to figure out the lay of the land, what's going on today. The trends that you guys have seen out there when you visit other churches or if you've come from other churches, it's amazing. Even my brother's church that cut loose all the normal traditions, in order to rethink and start intentionally with what we're doing, they go, you know what? We're pulling all the small groups back to Wednesday nights. You know why? One of the reasons we don't have small groups is they go, we don't have enough childcare. So if we pull all the small groups in on Wednesday nights, then we're going to run the children's program then to take care of the kids so that everybody can be involved. It's this big mess that either you let your kids watch VeggieTales or something else while you're trying to get holy inside, or else somebody has to miss the small group to watch all the kids, or else you're out two nights a week because you babysat for the other group while they babysat for your group, right? There's all these kind of things going on. Or you hire somebody from another church to watch your kids so that all you people can get. There's so many things going on. The pastor goes, well, if you grew up in an old Baptist church, you're used to being out Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night anyway, so come on back. And I was like, well, look, it's Sunday night. Why'd they pull him back Sunday night? Because they wanted him to do the core classes that the Nine Marks Church do. And they realized everybody was showing up. They're trying to redo church, so all the people that kind of gave up because their dads were too strict, all right, they tried to redo it. Now all of a sudden they realize all the people are coming, but they won't come to the core classes. They're not joining the church. So they're like, all right, we want you to come Sunday nights. It's like, wait, we worked so hard to get rid of Sunday nights. Now we're pulling you back for the core services. Then they said, oh, the small groups. Yeah, they worked for those that worked. But they realized, but there's so many people falling through the cracks. Maybe we need to have more corporate times together. You just watch the trends come and go. And in here, you're going to say governments have their time and their successes. God's kingdom purposes will stand. Why don't you be part of something that's bigger than you and I? Find out what he's doing and be a part of that. You done? Okay. Nations rise and fall. God's kingdom is firmly established. Back to where Vanya was going, Kidner said, there's perfect freedom that comes from serving this God. A perfect freedom. Verse 11, let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. There it is. We finished. What is it calling us to do? Somebody's got to say the obvious. If you say it quick, you'll get there before the mic gets there. Obey that. Join him. Go, yup, those are my words. What does he see? What is he valuing? How does this live? Right? Remember I've told you when I'm tired, not suicidal, but I'm just tired. I look at lying in the coffin in this position, I think, oh. Oh, you guys have to come to the funeral, all right? No eggs in the potato salad, because that's gross, all right? Whatever you have for the luncheon afterwards, all right? But, I'm done. I'm done, right? Okay, fine. If I woke up again, right? God came alive. Lazarus, come forth. What would I do? What would I do if I lived there? What would I say? What would give me life? And this is what you need to encourage me with. You say, John Davis, stop talking about being done. You ain't done yet. God will tell you when you're done. But right now, you need to... Now tell me, what do I need to do? John? What?
You need to listen.
Come on.
The earth is rejoicing. The earth is magnifying the Lord. Mm-hmm. We need to rejoice with it. But to do that, we need to listen to what it's saying. And then we need to understand what we're hearing, what it means. Says, for the Lord is coming. The rejoicing signifies that God is coming back.
Mm-hmm. And right? Did you hear that? The heavens are telling the glory of God. Look at a flower, God made it. Come on, we gotta do better than that. What else can you learn about the flower? I hated science. But probably why all my kids hate science. My last one has the most interest. I don't think it's enough. Susie likes science. But see, if you study science enough, you start, all right? You know where I'm learning science, any of it? Is as my body falls apart. As my body falls apart, you're like, oh, I didn't even know that was part of your body. Oh, how does that work? Can you fix it? Can you fix it? That's cool, what you just did there. That's cool, right? Then I'm thinking, why is this part of my body not working? Oh, let's learn some more, okay? That's a stinky way, all right? Listen to heaven tell. And what is it saying? What is it saying? What'd you say? He's coming back?
The Lord is coming.
He's coming. He's coming. So hold on. Where is it? Harold, Holly, Sarah, go.
This seems to me that we are a lot smaller than we think. That so, like if you're sitting on a seashore, that the sea is roaring. Sometimes it'd be more than others, but it's not something you can ignore. I don't believe that we actually have to listen to it. It's going to happen. God is going to judge right. Whether we think he will or not. So you hear the hear the non-believers say, well, when I get, when I'm before the God, I'm going to explain, or, you know, I'm going to say this, and and they don't realize how little they are, but that, but all the earth and the sea and the fields and the trees and the forest, they're loud. Whether we acknowledge that they're singing before the before God or not, they are. You can't walk outside and not be, you know.
Did you hear that? Go ahead. Who did I say? Holly.
Yeah. So all those all those things are doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing it because God is coming back. And if our time is limited, if we know I only have this much time, then you're focused on this is what I have to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm picky. I'm not distracted by everything else. This is the only time that I have to do this, and I need to get it done.
God wants us to do because limited time. It takes me a while. I miss the fact. Have you heard, as records come back, records?
Wow.
No, they're around. They're around. I mean, you know, listen for a trend I'll tell you about in the sermon. I can't give all the points away. You'll go home and say, I already heard the sermon. All right. But it's the bougie is such an old word now. But those ones, my cousins that are way into what's going, they don't have a stereo. They don't have an iPod. They don't have any of that. There they have a record player. New records. New records that they're cutting. All right. The thing we're losing, I've heard this before, that when you don't do an album, but you have to have a hit single, well, then you have to appeal to what people want right away. With an album, I've heard this from almost all the people that I followed. They go, there was three hits on that album, but the song that I really wanted to do, nobody would listen to. But in an album, you could hide it. In the old days with a record, it took a lot of work to skip a track. Right? So you listen to the whole thing. Right? And it takes me a while. That's why with these songs, we have to sing them a bunch of times before all of a sudden a line hits you. Right? So Andrew Peterson's song, I like his Loose Change song. And you realize after listening a million times, wait, he's talking about a penny. I like his song Alaska or Bust. Come on, it's Alaska or Bust. And that's talking about what Holly said. Cancer's hitting fast. I got one more time for a road trip. It's now or never. Let's go and do it. And you go, Alaska? Well, then you go, well, what should I be doing? Well, it depends what you're hearing about the king. It depends who he is. It depends whether he's worthy of you going, I had my bucket list. Or whether you go, look out, look, Jesus, looking out over the fields. Right? That they were white to harvest. It says the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Why? Night is coming when no man can work. And you think, Jesus, just do it. You're way better at this than we are. And he goes, no. No. You need to see the need. You don't even see the need. Everything I do, you're not even watching. You're thinking about bread. You're thinking about other things. You need to see what I see. Right? So, if they're all doing what they're supposed to do, can't a squirrel stay off the road? Were they made to run towards your tires? Well, then what is an animal supposed to do? If they're doing what God made them to do, what were you made to do? And they're saying, the Lord is coming back. The Lord is living. The Lord will judge. Well, then you do what you're supposed to do. Lord Jesus, would you help us as we come towards the end here? Would you teach us how to worship? Would you see how, as we read your word, that it's pregnant with a mission, with a life? Would you help me when I feel that it's too much? Would you help me to have strength that comes from you to accomplish what you've called me to do? But help it not to just be endless tasks. Would you give those tasks meaning? So like the squirrels, I don't have to figure out the whole world. I have to do what I was made to do. And Lord, would you help me to be one that's listening to, like Harold said, Lord, whether we listen or not, the sea is roaring. It's doing. So Lord, would help us to listen. Tune our hearts to sing your grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Next week, why did it take eight years to go through Faith and Future Grace? Go home and read your book again this week, and we'll talk about it next week. Thank you.